I'm at the airport in Montreal, Dorval International Airport, and because I'm here for the next couple of hours, I'm just walking around and giving a little report of the places I used to sell books here. I remember outside, it looks very similar to what it was like 40 years ago. Inside, it's being completely done up, although the main feature, which is that there's the offices and check-in counters in a quadrangle in the middle, and then there's a corridor all around that remains the same, but a lot's been added to it. Where I'm standing right now is where I remember we used to come out here in obviously in army clothes in the beginning, not in wigs. We just put on a hat, Jewish sculpted cap sometimes, and constantly walk around because you'd have to be walking around even then because of RCMP security. And where I'm standing now, I remember selling Chaitanya Charitamritas and sitting down and talking to one boy and really explaining to him at depth who Lord Chaitanya was, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are all about. And if I remember right, he took a good few books. We should just constantly be on the move. I'm just going to be on the move as well, and I'm walking counterclockwise. Some kind of Chicken Express over here, that's not interesting. And to the right, where used to be windows, but now it's been extended, and there's shops. Here, where I'm standing, the bathrooms, the toilets are still where they were, although they look much better than they used to. Airport's really packed because so many people have gotten stranded, and people really... One thing is Hare Krishna walking around here, another one is also recording himself. Anyway, here I remember that I was distributing, and one of my friends from pre-devotee days with his wife walked up to me. His name was Keith, although we used to call him Kif, and he was a very nice, friendly, jolly person, and I told him that I joined Krishna Consciousness. He was really happy about that. I think I gave him a couple of Bhagavatams and he gave me a 20, and then I gave him another couple of Bhagavatams and he gave me another 20, and then his girlfriend, whose name I forget, she was saying, no, Kif, that's enough, and we spoke a little more, and then he left with four books in his hand. And the bathroom was a place I used to mill around because I used to wait for people to come out here. As I'm going further on, I'm going to a corner, a well-known corner, a place that I really got the shock of my life. Actually, there used to be the boarding gate to the right over here, but that's been moved a little. And why is this corner a place where I got the shock of my life? Because I was standing distributing books just a little offside to the corner, and then I turned around and walked this way to keep walking. And I wasn't watching where I was going, and someone else was coming from the other side of the corner, and I bumped right into them. And it happened to me, my ex-wife, and her father-in-law, Jean-Claude Dubé. So we were just so shocked at seeing each other for a minute, they couldn't really say anything. And I have to admit, I was really tongue-tied. So what do you do in a circumstance like that? I just I stuck a book in their hand, and I said, "Here, Hare Krishna, can you give a donation?" And she just looked at me, and I think it was Jean-Claude who gave a donation, and I shook his hand, and then they walked off. And the devotee who I was distributing with, I think it was Revati Pranath, who I just met last year in India. He was an extremely passionate young boy. And he said, what's wrong with you? He said, oh, I just bumped into my wife. And just a little further down, to the right now, there's ticket counters, but there weren't. And in the center, there were seating places. So I remember when I came here with the yarmulke, and there were some Orthodox Jews sitting down, and there was no one else to do. So I sat down to him, and he looked at me, and he said, Shalom. And then I stuck a Bhagavad Gita in his hand, and I started talking to him about the Gita. I started talking, but this is the essence of the teachings of the lost tribes. And he opened it up, and he was really, really bewildered. He looked at Prabhupada, he looked at Sanskrit, he saw Krishna, and then he kept looking at me. And I had a shaved head, of course, so I looked pretty orthodox myself. And then he just said, what's a good Jewish boy like you doing with books like this? So I explained to him a little more. And told him that I didn't really think that I'd given up my Jewish faith. And he bought a book, amazingly enough. It wasn't very often that Orthodox Jews buy Bhagavad Gita from you. So that was pretty good. And, well, every place here at the airport, I remember being moved on by police. Moved on means asked to leave RCMP. A couple of times they took us in the office, and the problem with that is that after a while they get to know what you look like. They recognize you. So it's one thing lugging around book bags and having books in your arm that they also recognize, but when they recognize your face, then it's more difficult. And actually, I'm just looking at the area just a little back where I first started speaking. That's where there were a whole series of seats, and that's when in 1975, when Srila Prabhupada was here, he came in the morning. He picked him up at the airport with a big kirtan. He arrived, I don't know, on the first flight from Toronto, came to the temple, saw the temple, took prasadam, and then he had an appointment with Indira Gandhi. And next thing we knew, he was back out to the temple, to the airport, go to India. So he was sitting out here, and the whole temple was here in congregation. It was actually a Sunday. I don't know if you heard any of that, but that was another RCMP who just came up, asked to know what I was doing here, recording my remembrances, asked to see my boarding pass and everything, so I explained what it was all about. Excuse me, Srila Prabhupada was sitting over there, and we had a nice discussion, because for some reason none of the devotees were speaking. Everyone was just sitting there. And I started talking to Srila Prabhupada about book distribution here at the airport. I told him the difficulties that we had in distributing the books, and how police would harass us and kick us out. And I was expecting some kind of sympathy from Srila Prabhupada. Interesting thing was is that Prabhupada just said to me, well, if you find it so difficult, then you can come to India. And that really wasn't what I was expecting to hear from Prabhupada, who was always encouraging us to distribute books here. He was telling me, well, if book distribution is difficult, then why don't you leave and come to India? So I didn't really understand that, and I asked, it took me a few years actually to find out. I asked Jagdish Prabhu, should I go to India? He said no, but in England, Brahmananda Prabhu, who was with Prabhupada and traveling with Prabhupada here at the time, he told me that Srila Prabhupada was looking for Canadians or United Kingdom citizens because they didn't have the same type of visa problems as Americans did with India. And that's what it was all about. So Srila Prabhupada was recruiting me. Unfortunately, my karma wasn't such that I could go along with Srila Prabhupada. But that took place over there, and then Prabhupada got up and he left. And that was one of my sort of lengthiest and most personal exchanges with Prabhupada, because it was just Srila Prabhupada and I talking about book distribution for about half an hour, and it ended with this offer of going to be with him. Anyway, those are little reports here from the airport with a little interlude from RCMP, and we'll be in touch again tomorrow.